Hi, everyone.
Hello.
And welcome back.
Welcome back.
To Too Niche.
To be honest, we pre-recorded last week and I feel like it's been a millennia.
I can't even remember the last time I podcasted. Too Niche or Sup. It feels weird to be away, but good to be back.
Fresh off the Sup tour.
Fresh off Sup tour. Fresh off Dead & Co. tour.
Oof.
To do two tours at once, ambitious. But I do what can't be done sometimes.
Both of which you probably did nitrous in the parking lot.
Sadly, there were no balloon sellers at the Sup show, but I do encourage anyone that's wanting to enterprise in the nitrous space. I think it would be good to queer the space and feminize the space because typically the only people I see selling nitrous are men. And then, I did buy nitrous from a woman, so I supported a female-founded business this past weekend.
That's great. So yeah, we're just catching up. I was telling Lara off the mic that I think the Kyle and Mo of it all, I just like invigorated my interest in getting back into a space of a Beverly Hills rewatch. So I picked season 7 and just went with it. And now I'm at a place of Sutton. Like I've gone all the way through. And I have to say, I think this is my first time rewatching like the Erica Jane era.
From beginning to present day.
Well, I came in at our second season. I think her first season was season 6. And I'm having a love affair with Erica Jane. I haven't gotten to a place of Orphans and Widows yet, but wow, did she have like a rise.
She was fire. And I think in retrospect, we all, myself included, jumped on the witch hunt bandwagon with Erica Jane. And it was easy to do because she was serving psychotic Sunset Boulevard grifter energy. But I think that it was really Tom's fault. But he was in the insane asylum for old people known as the nursing home. So EJ was the target and she took everyone's wrath and ire.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's a world where he shared any of his business going ons with her at all.
No, I think when you're that rich from the and that jump of the relationship, yeah, it's not like he was like, I need someone to confide my like illegal behaviors to. It's like, no, you've set a precedent that you are this wealthy and now your life is focused around keeping up that ruse. You're not going to tell the person that is with you partially because of your wealth that you're like hanging on by a thread.
Right. And that was not her role in the relationship to hold space like that.
No, she was there to take money and be a pop star and have her business fully funded by her husband.
Her first few seasons, she gave such good housewife, primo.
You know, I've actually never watched her first few seasons.
What?
Yeah, I dipped out of Beverly Hills, to use a Tom Sandoval term. I think probably Erica Jane's first season. And then I dipped back in on the classic Loosey Goosey Apple Juicy
season. Which is
season.
An awful season.
I loved that season.
Okay, here's the thing. I was explaining this to a friend of mine who just has experienced Beverly Hills for the first time, that episodically, like week to week, the Loosey Goosey
Apple Juicy.
Juicy, got it. Was tough because it was just dragging on. But when delivered in one lump sum, as I believe all Housewives episodes should be consumed, it's better. But then it just peters off at the end once LVP leaves.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't like it as much. But I'm just having the time of my life with this rewatch. There's been nothing better.
Okay, good to know. You're just the little second person box. I've heard going through this rewatch.
Start at
phase.
Season 7, Dorit's first season, and go from there. And then I think I'm going to, once I go through up till current, I'm going to probably go back because I'm just loving BH.
I need to catch up on Jersey. I need to catch up on OC. And then
OC's
I need to watch the first episode of Current New York.
See, here's my thing with the Current New York. I'm hoping to bank a few and then jump in.
Because you want to like really ride the wave.
Yeah, I want to consume in one lump sum.
Okay.
Because I think just if you, when I think about original Housewives and how it found my heart, it was via a marathon.
Yeah.
So I want to, you know, have that element of binge with this new one. And maybe I think it will serve something. But what was interesting, I don't know if you saw that Erika Jayne met with some Girardi Keith's previous clients recently with cameras.
Very
present,
smart.
Paparazzi.
Very smart.
Present.
Very genius.
She's open to the conversation.
I'm ready for the Janeissance. And I'm ready for her Vegas residency. We were talking about, like, when are we going to go? We've got to coordinate
this. We're
going
to have to haul this.
It's Q4 vibes for sure. Late Q3, mid Q4 is when I'm looking at, like, a 24 hours in Vegas.
Painkiller dance party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. And then I think we'll probably have to do like some sort of Vegas haul or like a Vegas shows haul.
Definitely.
But it's happening. I think my favorite thing about Bravo celebrities is that they can be the most villainous, horrible people and then completely redeem themselves, usually while serving cunt all along. And that's the sweet spot for me.
I'm really enjoying Dorit this time around. I was always sort of mid. I came around to her a little bit more as time went on, but loved her first season. I was like, she came in out the gate enjoyable. On a second watch, didn't feel that the first time. So just fresh eyes.
Yeah, Dorit scratches an itch for me too. I like a fake accent. I like that she speaks Italian. I like her weird fashion. And I was just saying this to my hair colorist today. I like seeing like a really hot woman with a really ugly guy. It like feeds my Tony Soprano, Carmela Soprano. Like there's just something about that trope that is fun to see on TV.
I saw PK once at the valet line at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Huge.
You would have thought that I was standing next to Madonna, the way my heart rate, like I got so excited. Like I didn't do anything. I kept it cool, but I was just like, oh my God, PK, PK.
The valet line's a actually really good place to rub elbows with.
Oh yeah.
Reality stars.
Definitely.
Keep that in mind for any future LA visit.
Just a little LA tip for you.
But today we are not talking about Housewives, though I do believe they've been in trouble with a few of the things we're talking about and hauling today.
It's a great segue.
But we are going to haul. This is a listener request. And I was like, I have a lot to say about this. Let's haul it. So today we're hauling credit cards.
Okay, so I feel like this is going to be an education for myself because I have only ever had one card that I've upgraded as time has gone on, but it's stayed in the same lane.
That's probably the smart and like financially sound way to do it.
Okay.
I have right now, and everyone brace yourselves, but don't be scared. Let's see. 5 credit cards. I do not max them out. I use different ones for different things, and I'm looking to trim them down to 2 or 3.
Okay.
But I had a really rocky road with credit and credit scores. And so part of the reason why I have so many cards is to get my credit score back up so then I can start getting the cards of my dream and building status.
Isn't that wild how that works?
It's crazy. They're trying to trap you every time. And they got me once, but they will never get me again.
So what are the tips? What are the tricks?
Well, why don't we start with like when, because you seem like the more financially savvy, financially mature person out of the two of us.
Really?
I think so. Just as far as like, you've probably had your financial shit together longer than I've had my financial shit together.
Okay.
Maybe. So when did you get your first credit card?
2011.
Okay. Age? You don't have to age.
15. It wouldn't have been 2011. I've had my current Amex since then, because I was going off of the like member since situation. I think I probably had my first card when I graduated college. How does this work? Early 20s.
Okay.
Let's say.
Early 20s. Yeah. And then were you building your credit? Were you aware of what a credit score was?
I think I came online to a credit score probably when I graduated college and like opened a bank account when I moved to LA. A new bank account.
Renting apartments, right, and whatnot. Okay. And then you've always had that same iteration of that credit card, mm-hmm, since then.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think actually maybe I know why it's 2000. Okay, so I've had this card because when I opened my first business in 2011, that was the impetus for the Amex.
Was it an LLC or an S Corp?
LLC. Oh, not that it actually really matters, was a DBA. Oh,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is it Amex? What type of Amex?
Right now I have a co-branded Amex. So I have a Delta SkyMiles Reserve, the purple card.
Okay. I've seen this card. It's a sexy purple Amex.
It's okay. I don't know if I love the purple, but it has that heaviness to it, which I do like.
Yeah.
But I don't really have anything to compare it to. And I do think I could do better than what I have, which is why I'm really interested in hearing other options out there.
So you're a SkyMiles member.
I'm a Delta SkyMiles girly.
And do you have status on that airline?
Yeah.
When you get that Delta card?
When I got the card, I think it added, they had some sort of promotion. So I had had the card below that. And then when I upgraded that, it gave me enough miles to put me into platinum status. And then I've just been flying high ever since. But you lose the status after a year.
This was crucially unfair info to learn about status, because I never understood airline status like until this year, like early this year. I just thought like some people magically get upgraded, and was always like, why isn't my name on this upgrade list? Like, they don't see me. They don't honor me. I get no respect. Like, where is my name? Like, I thought you could just like get an upgrade. And I didn't realize that like the way it works is you rack up status on an airline and then you get like bumped to the front of the line.
Right.
But status isn't like miles. So like you can earn miles for every dollar you spend, and those miles roll over year after year. But status is like within a certain window of time. For one of my credit cards, it's like it's based on a different metric, but you have that window to earn as many miles as you can and lock in your status for the next calendar year.
My status is not locked in, and I'm devastated. I've never felt better in my life than when I was on a Delta flight right after I had upgraded my card. And a flight attendant came up to my seat and they said, is this Elizabeth Cott? And I said, why, yes, I am. And she said, I just wanted to congratulate you on achieving platinum status. And I like looked around. I was like, hello.
Like a spotlight comes down on you.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've been living large for the past year in a Delta lounge.
The lounge is everything.
Been getting... The past three times I've flown, I've gotten upgraded to first.
It's the good life.
It's all going to crash down in months. And I'm just so confused.
To quote Alex McCord, to a certain set of New Yorkers, status is everything. But to a certain set of nichas, status is everything. I can never not live in a world where I have status, because I too achieved platinum status on American last year. So it kicked in this current
Mazel tov
year, and I've been getting upgraded left and right. Finally, people are putting respect on my name.
the problem with American is flying. I don't know if you've experienced this, but flying with a dog on American is hell.
They try and keep me down, but I persevere and I press forward.
They make Midas get in the carrier thing and they say he has to turn around and sit down and we need to watch him do that.
Yeah.
On demand. What?
I know.
In what world? And it's up to the jurisdiction of the individual person checking you in. So you just never know what you're going to get.
I know, but I've flown now with Tony probably 4 times to Oklahoma. And like, so far, so good.
That's good.
I have it down to a science of like how I give him the treat and tease him to get him to turn around.
Right.
And all of that.
And the reasoning for it is they're like, well, PETA.
They have no reasoning.
What?
Their reasoning is they just want money and they probably don't want to get sued.
Whereas on Delta.
On Delta, I saw a girl carrying a dog in her shirt.
Everyone is, can I see your dog? He's so cute. What's their name? Oh my God, so cute. If you're in the lounge, we love dogs. Does he want a branded handkerchief and a treat pack?
Do they let them come out of the crate in Delta? Or were you were just doing what you wanted to do?
That particular photo I sent you of Midas just serving cunt in the Delta lounge was just his own volition, was just like, you know what? I'm going to sit and I'm going to live life.
But
they like you to keep the dog in their carrier, but they have treats for the dog, like a to-go baggie for the dog of treats. American is like, maybe we'll let you on this flight if you have an animal, which I don't like, which is why I don't fly American anymore.
They are strict about it and they're annoying because Tony will bark a little bit, or I like to let him stick his head out or even just like a nostril out. And if they see that, they will try and bring the hammer down on me, but they can only really do so much.
They're hater. Is it because really the best airline to fly to Oklahoma is...
Yeah. So the way I went about figuring out my like status game was I probably fly to Oklahoma the most out of anywhere. American has a direct flight. And then I've flown it enough to know that I just like flying American. And when I started my business, once I got my credit score to like an okay place, I was like, okay, I want to just start racking up, like using this card for miles and blah, blah, blah. And then finally realized like status, how that works. So now I'm like locked in with American, and that's one of my like business expenses, credit cards. But then I felt the call to Amex Platinum lifestyle. So I opened that card because I was like, the status of having a heavy Platinum card is also everything. But I'm kind of failing to see the benefits of the Platinum lifestyle. Mm-hmm. There are some, but you just have to like really know how to take advantage of all the deals so that the yearly fee doesn't like bankrupt you.
Sure. So I compiled some of the benefits that one acquires from a Delta SkyMiles Reserve Amex. It is a $550 annual fee.
Pricey.
Which I think the one I had below it, I want to say was $250 annual fee. But I got those, I think I got 150,000 bonus miles, which is what bumped me up to the Platinum status. So worth it.
The promotions are where it's at.
And then you get the Delta Sky Club access, which the Delta Sky Club is brand
really nice.
New in Los Angeles. So it's worth it just for that.
I was just there.
Because they just upped to get in now. It used to be $39. Now it's $50 every time if you want to buy a day pass for the Sky Club. So if you fly 8 times, I'm just mental mathing not well, it pays for itself. And then you get a few guest passes for whoever you're traveling with to join you. You get a companion ticket for the year. The one thing that I failed to do was realize that I had the companion ticket last year and that lapsed, which was very sad.
That is sad.
You get free bags and you get upgraded to priority. So the trick that I've learned is if you have to call to book, and then you can pay for whatever the standard ticket is, and then they'll upgrade you to comfort right then and there. And then you get asked to be put on the list for to get upgraded to business.
Mm-hmm.
But it only really works if you call to book.
Fascinating. I saw that tip on TikTok too.
And then if you link your Lyft, which I do, you can get points for every dollar you spend on Lyft. You get a mile. I don't generally do Starbucks, but you can connect your Starbucks and your Instacart. And for every dollar you spend there, you also get a mile. So just good to know.
That's good. And then are you SkyMiles like priority or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then you have priority don't pay line for bags. Access. You get Sky priority. So if you're committed to the Delta airline, which there's a Delta hub in Detroit, which is why initially I got roped into Delta, it makes sense, but I'm really open to other options. I've just never really explored.
So I have, as I said, Amex Platinum, and I feel like my approach now is going to be establishing. I like American Airlines because they partner with JetBlue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you want to go to New York or Florida, where my best friend lives, or even Martha's Vineyard, where she is some of the year, then you can get to those places via JetBlue. So that's, I was nice, like taking into account like where are the main people in my life living and like what airlines service those. So now I'm like locked into American Airlines. I can never look back
in perpetuity.
I just have to be like platinum or higher on there for the rest of my existence. But now I've decided that I need to like try and lock shit in with like Delta too, because the SkyMiles, their lounge situation is way better than American's lounge situation.
Yeah, but you can do the Centurion lounge with your Platinum Amex.
Yeah, but
which those are pretty good.
If you are checking in and you're in the American terminal, you're not really going to like walk to the Centurion lounge. Right.
Unless you're in Miami, because the Centurion lounge is
right there.
Right there.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that Amex, like if you're taking advantage of every single deal that's available to you and making sure that it all equals out to like zero in the end, it is a really good deal, period.
Right. I'm going to give my Delta SkyMiles Reserve Amex a-, only because of the last three first class upgrades made it all worth it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I would have probably said B.
Yeah. There's something like posh about having an Amex, but the actual experience of it is kind of more in the B range.
Yeah.
Because you actually are having to do a lot of work and mental math, which, as you've heard on this podcast, neither of us excel at.
Not trying to do that.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the platinum benefits. You get 5 times the points on flights and prepaid hotels, which is the hotels I've been booking for SUP Tour. I booked through the Amex travel portal to get those like 5 times points.
And does points equate to miles?
Yeah. I think it's different with different airlines, like, and different hotels, but essentially you rack up points and then they can translate to like dollars or miles, however you decide to use them. You get access to the American Express Global Lounge Collection, $240 digital entertainment credit a year. So that's like up to $20 in statement credits each month when you pay for eligible purchases like Hulu, Disney Plus, SiriusXM, Audible. So that's good for me because most of those are business expenses anyways. $200 airline fee credit. So that has that plus whatever I use the credits on my American Airlines card have paid for Tony to fly with me so far. Covered the dog expense. $200 hotel credit every year on prepaid fine hotels and resorts or the hotel collection bookings. $200 Uber cash.
Oh.
$300 Equinox credit and Soul Cycle at home bike credit. I'm not a member of either of those, but good to know it's there.
Just when the square footage aligns, maybe.
Yeah. Global dining access by Resy, which is actually great. You can go link your Amex to your Resy and it will give you like better table access to reservations.
And the
global dining access list is like pretty
posh.
Chic. Mm-hmm. I've gotten some hard to get reses through that. So okay, that was a bonus. You can get up to $100 in statement credits annually for purchases at Saks Fifth Avenue. You get Centurion Lounge complimentary guest access, Hilton Honors Gold status, Marriott Bonvoy Elite status. You get, they pay for your Clear Plus membership. Nice. I'm a big clear head.
I'm a big clear head too.
I'm like, scan my retinas. I just do not give a shit. They pay for your TSA pre-check. They have a hotline that I was just on for too long, which was knocking those.
Ultimate grade just went down a little bit.
And then they have like a membership rewards program where they'll give you little things. Like they'll be like, if you spend $200 at Jo Malone, you can get $50 back, which I haven't really taken advantage of those because I'm like, you're trying to rope me into buying candles and it doesn't take much, but like, I see what you're trying to do here.
What's the annual fee?
It's $695, which is steep. But if you are getting all of those things, then it does even out.
If you're, I think if you're traveling a lot, just for the lounges alone, because you're getting free food and bev in a lounge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but if I somehow spend $40 on a water and a snack.
Yeah. I can be in a mood at an airport and leave like a tornado of debris in my wake when it comes to just like swiping, getting bottled water and pistachios. Yeah.
So that feels like a membership fee.
Plus, something that is nice is that if you book through their hotel portals, you can get room upgrades at hotels. You can get guaranteed 4 p.m. late checkout or 12 p.m. check-in at like most hotels. So that's like most of the hotels I was staying at for tour were like, you could get there early, you can stay late. They give you like a $50 food and beverage credit. Like they hook you up. So that's nice too if you're traveling and staying at hotels.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about how all of these benefits sound nice, but ultimately it's grifty.
The whole thing. Grift.
Yeah.
All of credit and credit cards are a huge grift and predatory in nature. They're literally being like, who can we suck in and just siphon money off from them over a period of time, sink them into a debt they will never recover from, and like make them want to die. And they've tried to do that to me too, but I rose like a phoenix from the ashes back once again.
Phoenix.
Yeah, a phoenix. But so like growing up, I had an allowance. I didn't know how money worked really. I wasn't asking if it was just coming, and then no one cared to like inform me. So like my dad was pretty hands off about it. And then there was just one point where he was like, here's a credit card and a debit card, but didn't explain what they meant. So I was just like, oh, you just swipe these and get things. And then within a month, he was like, give those back to me. And then I was like, oh, okay, crazy. And then
learn by doing.
Yeah. And so then by the time like college rolled around, or like post-college, I was like, I want to shop. Like I should probably just have credit cards. Like they seem fun and like points are good, I guess. But I also just didn't know how those worked. And I was really under the impression that like, I actually didn't know how anything worked. So I didn't understand taxes. I didn't understand like credit scores. And I didn't know that there's a difference between like an Amex, for example. They don't give you like a minimum payment every month. Although on the Platinum, they will let you roll over like with 0% interest, but that's such a slippery slope that it's like, I no longer fuck with that. But like when I first opened a credit card, I had an Amex Gold that I got through like a business manager during my White Girl Problems writing era. And as I started to go broke, I just was like, oh, well, I still have this credit card. So I'll just like pay for everything on my credit card until they like cut me off. And so I was like using my credit card to float my lifestyle, which was not smart. And then I just thought like, oh, it's a credit card, so I can just pay like $35 a month and like I'll pay interest or whatever. But I didn't really understand how that worked either. So long story long, I found out that you just have to pay off the whole bill every month. And then if you don't, you get harassed by the people at Amex over and over, and you'll have to like dodge their calls, or you'll have to like pay that. Like, it's basically like someone calling and being like, pay us $100 an hour else. And then you have to be like, can I pay you 50? And they'd be like, yes. And then I did that for a while. And then eventually I was like, I'm going to just ignore this because it's stressful. And I have like bigger fish to fry right now, like paying thousands of dollars of taxes that are back owed. And then they canceled my credit card, which is like the worst thing that can happen to your credit score. Ooh. One of the worser things that can happen to your credit score.
Damn.
So then my credit score was tanked, but it didn't really matter because I was also in crazy IRS debt. And then it took kind of learning the hard way about a credit score to be like, oh, this is how it works and this is what it means. And then like slowly building it back up over time. So that was like 2014. Late 2014. And then finally by like 2021 or 2020, I was able to get approved for a secured credit card where you basically put $1,000 down and say, I'm good for this much money. And like you get like a $500 credit limit each month. And then you slowly build it up over the course of the year. And if you pay it off, then they'll reimburse you the down payment that you put. And then you have like, you've started to just build your credit tinily. So that's why I had so many cards, is because I was like, got the secured one, which was like a shitty Bank of America credit card. And then slowly was like, okay, I'm going to just push my credit limit up on this, but not use it that much. And then apply for a better card and a better card. And now I'm a platinum baby.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
So interesting. I'm really thinking, my dad has always been very smart when it comes to finances. And so he bestowed a lot of lessons on me from that. And I think that mixed with my mom's like first generation American lack mentality mindset, like that just like is a recipe for just being really, I think,
prudent.
Exactly. And when I got my first credit card, which I'm now remembering was a Visa when I was in college, my dad was just like, you pay it off every month. Like you pay it in full every month. That's how a credit card works. So I've only ever done that because mm-hmm. I didn't realize that, like, I didn't know that there was another option, I don't think. But
that's way better to be apparently ignorant about the option to not pay is way better than being ignorant about how you're supposed to pay it.
But obviously, I think it speaks to the fact that they just like the general schooling setup doesn't teach us about just basic life skills, like how to handle finances just as a whole. And yeah, it's up to like us as an individual to either learn from another influence in our life or have to figure it out the hard way or whatever the case may be, which ultimately the cards are just trying to, I mean, their business model is based off the fact that people won't pay in full. Yeah. That's what it is.
They don't like the customers that pay their bill every month. They like the customers that don't pay their bills.
They want to have to call you.
Yeah, they want, because every time you pay the minimum, they get to charge you up to 25% of whatever else is owed. And then if you just continue to only pay the minimum, that your balance gets so high that that's how you get into credit card debt, because you're just like, how could I possibly pay this off now? Because every single month that goes by, they just charge me an extra 25% interest.
And then is there ways to kind of negotiate that down?
I don't know exactly. Like when my card got canceled, I think I owed $5,000. And then I waited for like a book payment or like a consulting gig. Like I just waited for a payment and then paid it all off right then and just was like, let's never speak again. Like I don't want to, we'll pretend we don't know each other in the streets. until then, I was like applying for credit cards and was like, oh, I realized like how fucked I was because that card got canceled. And then specifically like Amex became my white whale because I was like, I was told that if you ever got an Amex canceled, you could never get another one. And that's when I was like, we'll see about that. And then applied through my business and got so approved. Inspiring. But I too pay off the entire amount at the beginning of every month. And I also just try and keep it low. Like they say the best way to build your credit is to only use about 30% of whatever your limit is. Mm-hmm. Because if you go above that, your credit score starts to decrease.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Like sometimes if I've had an expensive month or I've spent more money, I'll get a notification that my credit score has decreased, which is kind of counterintuitive.
Credit karma?
You would think like, yeah, and like a lot of banks now just offer free like FICO updates. But like you would think that they would be like, oh, this is great. Right. They're spending more money because they're good for it. That's but no, good. They look at it as like, you're actually like riskier because you're spending more money and like, do you have the money to cover the bill at the end of the month?
See, I'm just so committed to like somehow maintaining my platinum status that I truly put everything on my Amex. And
oh, I pay quarterly taxes on my credit card because I just am, I need the status and I need the points.
Obsessed. Like it's all I think about.
Yeah. No, status is everything. And I mean, they literally like put you in a spend challenge mentality. Like on American, for example, it'll be like, you have X amount of points, but you're only this amount away from like Platinum Pro.
MQM.
And then you're like, spend challenge, like what other things do I need?
So one workaround, or not workaround rather, but a little hack that I've been using with Venmo, which is how I'll pay a lot of the people that we work with, for instance, like editors or, mm-hmm. you know, various vendors, is you can use Amex Send on Venmo. So you can take money from your Amex and put that in like a Venmo thing. So
you're getting the, wow.
So it's, but you have, and it's sort of linked. So you just say like, pull from Amex, and it brings you to the Amex app. And then you type in like however much you want sent over to Venmo, and then you...
And that becomes your reserve that you Venmo out of? Smart. Okay, that's a great hack. Wow. Okay, things are happening.
Yeah.
Status will be achieved.
We're basically money advisors.
That we are. So I'm going to knock it down like one tier lower. Oh, another thing I think with like, and a goal for mine with like, running a business and having like a business credit score is different than like your personal credit score, because it calculates like your lending, like I think it calculates your lending risk or something like that. So it's like, as a business, your credit score is a little bit of a different calculation, where people are like, does this business like pay their bills on time?
Right.
And what, like, how much of a risk is it to like give a loan to this business? So that's just something I always want to keep it like perceived as like low risk all around. But yeah. So the other credit card that I have, I would give the Amex also, it's floating in like an A-B+ range.
Okay.
I haven't been able, it's like, I think also the points now, like everything's so expensive that it's like, when I use points, it's nice to pay for just like a personal vacation flight with points. But like, I want to be able to pay for like a business class or like a lay flat with points. And that takes so many that you're like,
everything is so inflated right now. It just doesn't feel like a deal.
Yeah. I'm not like Bob Iger. But the points, I'm literally a small business owner. I'm a business owner with economy level points. That's just the truth.
I relate.
My other card is a Citibank Advantage card for business, and that one's like $99 a year, and that's where I got my American status, and that pays up to, that's a free checked bag, main cabin select always.
So is that like Comfort Plus?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that might also be the pro of it all, or the platinum of it all. But now they have this thing called the Advantage eShopping Portal. So it's like a widget that you can put in your Google Chrome, and on any website that you're on, you can like click it and it will see if it's linked with the Advantage card. It will like activate, like sometimes like on Net-a-Porter recently, they had like 5 points per dollar spent. So then I was like, well, I do need a pair of sunglasses. And then that was like, that felt like an investment, even though it's not. But the e-shopping portal has been a real points getter.
I've always wondered about the sort of back end on that. And I feel like it has something to do with like affiliate linking. And mm-hmm. basically like if these big credit card companies are basically like affiliate linking.
I think then, they are, or they're linked to certain ones. Cause like, I know like Amex has a lot of like deals with Neiman Marcus, yeah. Saks, Nordstrom. I know that they're aligned with Delta, and Starbucks is somehow also aligned with Delta and Amex, mm-hmm. or at least Delta and Starbucks and Marriott are like brethren.
In cahoots. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm like, how does this work? They're collabing constantly. But yeah, I would love to know the business model right. behind.
Like, I think that they're getting kickback for basically generating the sale.
Definitely.
They're basically mid-grade influencers.
I mean, they had one recently for Apple on the Advantage e-shopping that was like 10 points per dollar, or you get 10 times the points per dollar spent for like a day. So if you were to get like a MacBook Pro or something, it would go, you know, what, 2,400 times 10? Like you get basically a free flight.
Damn.
To Oklahoma and back. So it's like the deals are good, but they also, it's a spend challenge.
It really
They're just
is
trying to get you to be spent. A consumerist pig.
And not pay it.
I mean, but but you also need to be able to pay.
Yeah.
And I always tell people that ask me about credit cards, like if you're doing it just so that you can like get something and then pay for it later, you think that you're not going to pay off every month, you just shouldn't even do it.
Right.
Because
that's the wisdom.
It's really not worth it. And it's a true know thyself
experience
game. Mm-hmm.
What other ones do you have?
So that Advantage one is fine, but I think I'm going to try and upgrade it to the Advantage Executive one, or they have one that's like a black one that I think it costs $495 a month, but then you have
a month or a year.
No, a year. Sorry. Can you imagine? I'm like really smart.
You're like, it's so crazy. These, they get you.
You just have to avoid them getting you. Anyways, it's $495 a year, but then you have access to all the American lounges, which you don't through the credit card that I have now, which is annoying. It's the lounge is life. So we'll see about that, but I'm waiting because they have a promotion where you can get like an insane amount of miles if you spend within a certain amount of time, but you can't get the miles if you open a credit card within like 48 or 24 months of like the last one. So I'm waiting for that period to end before I just go back in, and it is truly over for American Airlines. I'm literally going to be like flying the plane. So that one, I think if you're really not into American Airlines, like if you're not an American Airlines head, there's nothing for you there. And it kind of is like mid, I'd give it like a C+. But the black one, I might give like a B+. Chase Sapphire, I've never had, but I know that that's like a hot thing.
I've always been intrigued. I've always had my eye out on the Chase Sapphire experience.
But I'm like, I can't take on like another child right now. No. You know what I mean? Like I'm focused, really focused in on like Amex and Advantage. Bank of America is where I started my Phoenix rising from the ashes credit journey. So I unfortunately have like a $0 a year Bank of America cash back card that was like the first one that I had to get as like a secured credit card and then slowly build up my limit on. So
is that
I have
the Jen Garner one?
I don't think she's a Capital One girl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. It's all a blur.
Yeah. Bank of America, I think, is like the worst bank in the world. I'm truly convinced that it's going to crash and I need to like move my money out of Bank of America, but I just get too lazy and overwhelmed
it's
to do it.
It's such an ordeal.
But I'm like, I really have had a terrible feeling about Bank of America for years now.
BOA.
Yeah. I think BOA is going D-O-W-N.
D-O-A.
But then I think when you open a credit card, if you close it, your credit score goes down. So you're just supposed to have it and spend on it forever, which is another way that they get you.
This whole credit score thing.
I mean, it is truly, it's fucked up. And it's like,
I don't like it.
I am a privileged to have the amount of credit cards I have and how I don't like think I'm not, but like it really is like it's preying on people, and I think mostly targeting like lower income people with a promise. It's like predatory loans but in a card.
Yeah.
And that mixed with like American consumerist culture is like,
and then it dictates like where you're able to live, so many different factors.
It's like, can you get a house loan? I mean, if you try and buy a car, or anyone, when I was trying to buy my car, they want to run your credit score, but even running your credit score dings your credit score.
Yeah.
So then by the end of it, you're like down where you start, because they are going to run it every time they apply to a bank for a loan, which at that time, like my credit was still trying to like bounce back. Which is why I wanted to buy the car, so that I had like a car payment mm-hmm. to build my credit. But it was like, it's like you can't, they make it so that you almost can't win, because you're like, we're going to knock your credit down by checking if this bank will give you a loan. They said they won't. So we're now going to go to this bank. When they check it, it's going to knock it down more. They won't give you a loan. So now we're going to go to this bank. It's going to knock it down more and they're going to give you a loan, but they're going to give you a loan with like a 10% interest rate. And you're like, you've literally like
in the process.
The knees. Yeah. And so it just sucks.
I discovered that a fraudulent Target card was taken out under my name by doing a credit check.
Yeah.
And apparently it was like this huge database hack that had happened with Target. So they had like a whole hotline set up and they were really good about nipping it in the bud. But I found it through looking at my credit score, because you can see all the different cards that are open and all of that. So just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'd give that Bank of America cash back. It's a D for me. You get the cash back, but it's also just like, what is this? It makes me sad. It's not cute.
Certainly doesn't have like a nice weight to it.
It has zero weight. Light as a feather. Could blow away in the wind. It's just truly, I'm like, what? Like, you're a hanger on right now. And I don't know how to cut you out of my life, but we're figuring it out.
Yeah.
And then I have another Bank of America credit card that was like, you could actually accrue points and spend, and like you can, the points can become gift cards, which was a great deal. Like I cashed in some of those for like a Best Buy run to like re-up on like audio equipment and like computer stuff. But that one's also like, I'm like, if you're not affiliated with an airline, you're really doing nothing for me at this point. Like I crave status and you're not giving it to me. So you're also like, you're a D plus for that. And then out of a sheer desperation to raise the credit score and a thought that I would like use it very sparingly, I opened up a Sephora credit card.
Oh, which we discussed during the Sephora haul.
Mm-hmm.
Great and episode if you haven't heard it.
I like it, but I like Sephora way less than I liked it when I first got the credit card. But they are truly, they love increasing the credit limit on that card. Which is crazy to me.
So what does it do for you in terms of Sephora shopping? Do you just get like
free
foundation?
You get like 2 to 3 points for every dollar you spend. So usually like at the end of every month, I can get anywhere from like $10 to $20 in discounts, what Sephora just opened, which is lame that they don't have this on the credit card, and they honestly should for Rouge members. Oh, you get VIB Rouge automatically. Okay. So you're like in the Rouge sale.
But you would probably already, I venture to guess, if somebody's opening a Sephora card, you're already...
You're Rouging. They have like a deliver today option now on Sephora.com, but that's an extra yearly fee. And they should just put that on the credit card. If it's available in your area, you should get it.
Yeah.
So that's rude that they don't have that. The Sephora one, I'm also like, it's a C+. Like, I like the discounts and I like a Rouge moment, but it also has made me spend more at Sephora than I would probably care to.
The real trick with the Sephora of it all, I've realized, is buying directly from the brand. You don't get the points, but I feel like the Rouge system, it's not that good.
No.
And I've just been noticing, we touched on this when we were talking about the Sephora sale, a lot of the brands are doing quarterly 20% off.
Yeah. And the experience of being in a Sephora is hectic and dirty.
Right.
And I've now ventured into other beauty stores like Credo Beauty or...
Credo's great. Violet Gray. Detox Market.
Yeah, like all those actually have like a nice customer shopping experience, mm-hmm. where there's not smudges on everything and like crazy loud music playing. And a lot of those, like Credo, is in the Advantage e-shopping thing. There's just a lot of other options. So those three, I would say, I'm really over those three and I don't know how to phase them out of my life. So if anyone knows, give me a hint.
No. Also, I'm just curious if anybody's obsessed with their card that has like an A+ rating for what card program they're on, because I'm open to exploring other options, especially if I lose my platinum status in 24.
I think like Chase Sapphire, people seem to be like incredibly obsessed with that.
Cashback,
but then they have like travel stuff and you get like a lot of points on dining out, which is appealing.
That's the thing with like a co-branded like Amex that goes to Delta or American, it's somewhat limiting.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out the best approach to how I can continue to put everything on a credit card and pay it off at the end of the month, get the points, but also like have just like the credit cards that are getting me the most bang for my buck. Like if I'm gonna be a consumer pig, I want to be a smart consumer pig.
It's the dream.
But yeah, that's the credit card rundown.
That's the haul. I'm obsessed with how random it is. I think we've needed like a little like pivot out of the pop culture realm.
Yeah, financial realness.
Yeah.
Clearly, I'm down to haul many more credit cards, so please do send options my way. If you have any unsolicited credit card financial advice, tell me.
Yeah, I do love the Platinum Reserve, and I think I do get a kickback if someone uses my link, so I will be throwing it in.
We'll be linking.
The notes, mm-hmm. show notes. One more update of a call to a previous haul. You know I love a TikTok conspiracy. You know I love a Taylor haul. And when those two things combined, I'm just need to provide a new development. So I came across a new Taylor sector of belief system, which is called Weedler. And that is spelled Weedlor. And that is the school of thought that Taylor Swift enjoys marijuana.
Like, is a stoner or just partakes every so often?
I think it's that she partakes.
Or that she's or that just, like, she just 420 enjoys. Friendly.
She's 420 friendly.
Okay.
And there, apparently, last week, Weedler theories have been confirmed, according to TikTok. And because she was at this restaurant called the Astor Club, New York City, which is like a cannabis-friendly members club, and she was playing Uno and there were like visible joints on the table.
Wow.
And I just, and people were losing their minds over this revelation. And I'm pretty into it. I'm like, I'm a weedler for sure.
She should and could start her own cannabis brand and become the world's first trillionaire.
Too much hoop jumping for a, I think she's good on raking in her billions going across
true the real world. Estate and touring. Yeah,
but I was thinking like, oh, the dream blunt rotation, Taylor would be fun to throw into that mix.
Yeah,
who would be yours?
Honestly, TBD, because like I feel like I've phased out of the dream blunt rotation because I think I would get too paranoid and like in my head about anyone that I was smoking a blunt with. So I feel like just like dream dinner.
Yeah.
Like sit down, Courtney Love.
Solid.
I think Courtney Love.
Just
yeah, a tete-a-tete. Just Courtney right now. You can smoke weed with Taylor and I'll have like a sober dinner with Courtney.
Sober combo.
Yeah, a sober combo with Court, and we'll both be in heaven.
Amazing. Can't wait. That. Speaking of heaven, we have some announcements.
Oh my God, you guys, we have the winners of all of our amazing prizes. First of all, thank you so much to everyone that wrote in and gave us feedback on our survey that we published in June.
Really, some of you wrote the nicest messages to us, and it was just really uplifting and sweet to hear all your feedback and for you to just like take the time to fill out the questions. So thank you so much. So as a refresher, we're giving away the Elizabeth collab for Sleep Crown. We're giving away a beautiful plug-in light fixture from Color Cord, which is like my favorite obsession lighting brand. We're giving away an Adacete Cryo face tool, which I love so much.
Giving away a Goop vibrator. Hello. Which was the number one vibrator of the century.
And last but not least, a suite of products from one of our favorite sponsors, Juna. So we're going to email you guys exactly what you won, but the winners are, drumroll please,
Sophia Hode.
Hello.
Stephanie Caldwell.
Stephanie.
Dory Cooper.
Dory.
Helen Griffin.
Helen.
Jillian Clark.
Jillian. Guys, thank
congratulations to you guys. And thank you so much for writing in.
And thank you so much for joining us for today's haul. We're so excited to be back and in person. Hauling.
We're hauling.
Balling. Credit carding.
Haul, lol, and spend.
That's right. So until next time.
Bye.
Stay niche. Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.